Amen. Thank you for those good songs. That was just awesome. I'm thankful that we are thankful. To me, I think that we've said before, an attitude of gratitude gives you altitude in life, and it's so true. This past week, there was a person, I was talking to him, and I just said, well, happy Easter. And they looked at me and said, you believe in that pagan holiday? And I went, what? And they said, look it up. So I Googled it. I said, the roots of Easter. And it is a pagan holiday. And it was changed over. And the rest of the week, I didn't say Easter. And I said, I'm looking forward to the resurrection. And I was made to think that, you know, we come to church every Sunday, and it's the first day of the week. And the idea is to help us to remember this is a special day. This is a day the Lord has risen. And I really think the devil is trying to mess that up wherever he can. He's going to try and knock Christianity down. And I don't think we've seen a whole lot yet. We've seen some, but I think Christianity is, we're in for a ride as far as trouble. So I would like to say the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Amen. My thoughts this past week were, Brother Henry gave me a book on the medical concept of what Christ went through, and I read that, and I was like, wow. I mean, it blew me away with what all, from a medical standpoint, could happen or is involved with Christ's suffering. It's mind-boggling. I'll just give you one point. Do you know how many hours Jesus was up? It was over, I think they're thinking it's like 30-some hours he was up till the crucifixion. And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody here. I mean, I know some people that go all night, but can you imagine the wear, the drain, the tiredness of that kind of pressure? And I'm a friend of mine who was had some issues. Well, you probably know him, Stanley Heisey. Him and I were partners years ago in Derry, and he had an issue where his kidneys were shutting down, and fluid was coming in and shutting him down, and so he had to get that taken care of, drained. Thank you. And they were doing tests all night, and it was just going on. And the next day, he was kind of drained. He was tired, and he told the nurse that the sun was coming in the room, and he said, could you please shut the blinds? And so he did, and next thing he remembers, she was on top of him, pounding his chest. And they realized that he was under such stress, you know, he was so tired that he had a cardiac arrest. And I'm thinking, wow. And he wasn't up 30-some hours, if you understand where I'm coming from. But I'm thankful he's still here. I called him last night to thank God that he's still alive. We have a lot of fond memories together. Anyway, this morning, my heart goes out to, he is risen. The Lord is risen. And I didn't realize, but, you know, there's a verse that I like to, some verses that are in Job. And Job said this in Job 19. It says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. In other words, Job was talking about the resurrection. He knew he was going to see God someday. And that was Old Testament. And I'm thinking, so this resurrection thing is not, it's not nothing new. The thing that I realize that I know that I'm not going to do justice to this doctrine. I'm not going to be able to do justice to this doctrine. Because this doctrine is the foundation of Christianity. You think about it. If we would not have the resurrection, we have no purpose. We'd be just like any other cult out there. There's other religious groups where their leaders have rose in power, and they're gone. There's critics that would like to try and figure out that this didn't happen. There's a lot of theories like, you know, they went to the wrong tomb, or the body was stolen. That's the Jewish theory. But none of these things are true, because they don't have a body to prove anything, and you need a body to prove that the person's dead, usually. And it's just, God wins. Bottom line, God wins. And the question is, are we going to be a part of that? So, I would like three people, there's three verses I'd like to give out at the very start here, just to stimulate your thinking. The first verse is Matthew 17:9. Who would like to read that?
Matthew 17:9.
Matthew 26:32. Okay, and Mark 14:27-28. Who's that? Okay, thanks. All right, why don't you first read this, Matthew 17:9.
And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead."
Okay, what's the outstanding thing in there? What did Jesus tell them not to do? Until
he's risen.
Right. And this was long before this anything happened. He told them, "When I'm risen, you can say this." All right, Matthew 26:32.
"But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Okay, after I'm raised up, then we're going to go to Galilee. This was before any of this stuff happened. Mark 14:27-28.
"Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been risen, I will go before you to Galilee."
Okay. Another time in Mark where it says, "When I am risen, I'm going to go to the Galilee." And so, basically, the disciples were told. They were told this is going to happen. And it makes me think a little bit of preaching. I thought of it this week. The Bible says the foolishness of preaching. And sometimes I might feel that way from the standpoint that you say something and then we have what you call a quiz and the grade is not as good as I'd like to see it. We're gonna have some acronyms today, at least two, and the one is an old one. And let's do that quiz right now. We just went through this week, and we have the acronym of CROSS. Do you remember what CROSS acronym is? CROSS. Now remember, I was saying the foolishness of preaching. I think this is why Jesus, he had to say it a couple times so everybody can remember it. So I'm hoping you can remember this. CROSS. Amen. Consistently reflecting our Savior's spirit. Every one of us have that cross to bear. And the reason I like that is because everybody's cross is different. Everybody's situation is different. And Lori knew it, right? Yeah. But because some people battle with pride, and that is not of God. Christ does not have pride in his life. He's humble. He has humbled himself to come down here. And some people have a problem with greed. And Christ didn't have, he wasn't greedy. He was a giver. So everybody's journey is different. But that's why it's so important that we consistently reflect our Savior's spirit. And so that's, every one of us have that cross. All right, well, thank you. I think you passed that grade on that one. Thank you, Gerald. Okay, the question is, the proof of the resurrection, is it real? Critics hate this. The Jews hated it. In John 11, 39 to 44, I'm going to read that. John 11, verses 39. If I write this right. Oh. I'll begin reading at 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." This is in regards to Lazarus. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, "Loose him and let him go." I don't know. I never saw a dead person come back to life. I never did. And I don't think anybody here ever did. I don't know. Anybody see a dead person come back to life? I didn't. I mean, I've seen cardiac arrest, but but not a literal, you know, being dead 4 days or whatever. There's no way. It's beyond our comprehension. But this did happen. And this is proof. This was before Christ died. But anyway, and this is, if you remember history, the Jews actually wanted to, they were thinking of killing Lazarus, if I remember right. They wanted to get rid of him because he was proof that Jesus was someone special. He did have power. He did have this ability to do this. And I mean, the Jews didn't like it. And the reason, if you look at the story of before he was crucified, they said that, you know, we have to get rid of this man or we're going to lose our position and our power with the Romans. And so it was all about them. It wasn't about God. So anyway, the foundation of our faith is found in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is and was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. The resurrection validates that Christ was the Son of God. His words, his work, and his worth was value. It proved everything that he said in regards to his resurrection. That proved all that what he was saying is true. So, Romans 6, 9, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Romans 6, 5 and 9. I think that's what it is. If I would look in the right chapter, it didn't make sense. I was in 5. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that he will also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The fact that without this resurrection, we would have nothing. We need to die unto sin so that we can be raised into life. In Christ's resurrection, it gives us a future hope of life. The fact that the resurrection guarantees a future home. Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be with me. And that could not happen unless he rose again and proved that he was the Son of God, that he did have all power to do this. Now, we didn't mention at the first that every gospel mentions the resurrection. The interesting thing is every one has a little different, if you want to call it twist, or different thought or emphasis. The one I read them this morning, and the thing that stood out to me, I think in the one said, you know, go tell Peter. Make sure you go tell Peter. You know, he was the one that denied Christ that night before. I mean, the nights before at the crucifixion. And so he wanted to make sure that Peter knew that he's alive. He's not dead anymore. So, but I would like to, I was almost thinking I could let somebody read this. And while we read that, I could put something on the board. Who has a good voice and good expression? I know Yuri does, but he was up here this morning, so I don't want to pick on him. I was Cleon. I think you're in the front row here. Mike, you don't mind. And if you could read Luke 24, just read that chapter. That way, and give us the insight of this special day and this special morning. So, does he need a mic? You got it? All right. Cleon, thank you.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto him, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that he had also seen, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst unto them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Mm-hmm. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen. The verse that I would like you to take away, and that is verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed. And the question is, it says, and he hath appeared to Simon. The question I like to ask us is, has he appeared to you? This risen Lord, has he appeared to you? And I also love this other verse in verse 36. I wasn't around when we named this brotherhood, but it says, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Shalom be unto you. And I have a neighbor, Jewish, messianic friend, and that's how we greet each other when we call. I say, Shalom. And he shalom back, and he also has other, I would call it Gerbil, kids, I don't understand Jewish, but he rattles a bunch of stuff off. And he chuckles, of course. He does that just to irritate me, I think. But he's like some other people I know. But and that's fine. I love him anyway. And we usually close out with shalom. Because shalom can be a greeting and a goodbye. It says peace. God bless you. I mean, that's in my own words. Anyway, this acronym that I felt, I'm hoping we can grasp, I'd like to put this statement out. What does the risen Lord mean to us? What does it mean to us? And I put down things here to help us understand the importance or the value of what the risen Lord is. And if in Colossians 1, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Colossians 1, verse 16, I'll read down through. Excuse me. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that are sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, there whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. But it says, he has reconciled us. He has restored a relationship that was totally destroyed because of sin. And it was through his sacrifice on the cross and then through his resurrection to prove his identity as the Son of God. It's confirmation. This is what he's done. He brought us back to a relationship with God. And I, it says, of intercession work of Jesus. And in Romans 8:34, there's some verses there that I would just like to read. And actually, Daryl's going to be talking about this sometime down the road here, which is good. But Romans 8:34 reads like this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercessions for us. I don't know of anyone here that's perfect. At least I'm not. And I have made mistakes. I may have said something wrong to my wife or to my children. And I have to apologize. I have to get that cleared. And when I do that, Jesus is doing the same thing to my Father. He is clearing the slate so that my relationship with God can stay intact. Now, if I would do wrong and not get those things clear, then my relationship with God is not what it should be either. And I won't be able to advance or have a close walk with him until I clear up what I have done wrong. And that's what Jesus does for us. He's there to intercede for us, but we have our part to show that we mean business with God. We have to just confess and repent and clear things up. All right, John 10:25. There's some verses here that I'd like to read too. I always got to make sure I'm in the right chapter. For some reason, I've been jumping around. John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you that ye believe, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name that bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they have and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And when I realize Jesus rising from the dead, when he's risen, he gives us security. He gives us that solid ground. He'll take care of us. He'll protect us. He'll help us. He's there. And what's better yet is, back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We now have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says over in different times, it says, do not quench the Spirit and do not grieve the Spirit. Those are two things that the Bible says we should not do. And my cry is, God loves us so much. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can walk and talk with him. And we need to exercise that. If you don't exercise that, you're hurting yourself. Because I am excited when God speaks to me through his word, through brothers, or just through a still small voice. It has happened. It works. That's how it works in my life. And I'm sure everybody's journey is different. And my prayer is that you ask for that. I mean, every day it's wisdom to say, Lord, help me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Because when you do that, It's saying that you want to learn. Russ isn't here today, but remember he gave that account when he came over from the other country and they were doing jobs and stuff, and he did so well that, you know, they were giving him work or whatever, and the reason is he was seeking to do his best. He was seeking, and that's how it is in our Christian life. We have to press ourselves into it. You know, we have to really try, do it. Because if you don't, you're going to soon fall by the wayside. It's just our natural tendency. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. I like to read some verses here. 1 Corinthians 15. The very last verse is, but not quite, 57. So, but thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, because Jesus rose from the dead, it shows that he has power. And that power is conveyed to us to be victorious in our Christian life. Because in ourselves, we can't do it. I'll tell you that right now. It doesn't work. But with the power of Jesus Christ, conquering over death, doing something that nobody else could do, God can give us that victory, that power, to be able to be victorious in our Christian life. Now, the last letter, I didn't know what to put there until last night. I began to realize that I put the narrow way. And if you would go to Matthew chapter 7, it's a Sermon on the Mount. It stood out to me. Verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When Jesus was risen, he gave us the narrow way that we need to follow. And I don't want to be redundant, but I really would like to get everybody to, this could be your second thought, and that is, to do that, you have to be honest. You have to be humble. You have to be holy. And by walking in that path, it'll keep you in the narrow way. Because the broad way is lies and deceit, and it just, there's no end. And it's all about, you know, a big show or whatever. Whereas with Christ, it's just being honest and humble and holy. That's the narrow way. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to be able to do it with God's help. You can't do it yourself. So the question, I have some questions here that I would like you to answer yourself. Am I walking in this narrow way? Am I walking in this narrow way? Am I really honest with myself? Am I honest with other people? Am I truly humble? Pride will destroy anybody. I've seen it. And I've actually experienced that. In other words, I'll tell you a story of myself. And I did not realize this happened to me. But we were at a viewing here years ago. And there was a brother. When I came into Blue Rock, which was an Eastern church, this will tell you where I was at. I watched the people go in, and before I went in, I took my tie off. Okay? That tells you a little bit where I was from. That's my background a little bit. Anyway, I was like 13 or whatever. But anyway, I was in there, and I was meeting the boys of my age. And there was a family that was there just a little bit in transition. They moved out of the area to another church. I mean, it's still Eastern, but it was another church. And this brother, who is now also ordained, he told me this. He said, "John," he says, "I still remember you coming to Blue Rock." I said, "Really?" "Yeah," he said, "when you came, you said, 'My name is John Martin Slammaker III. And I was like, "Whoa." And he said, "You had an air about you." And I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, help me." I kind of forgot about it, but when he said that, I remembered. You know, I had a little bit of an air about my third. You know what? That doesn't mean anything. You need to be humble before God. You need to say, "Lord, here I am. It's not my name. It's God is everything." And I really think we need to make sure that Jesus Christ is the center of our life. Jesus Christ should be paramount in our life. Because when you don't have Jesus in there, something else is going to go there. And it's usually you. That's usually how it works. So we don't want that. So am I walking this narrow way? Have I died to self? Do I bear the cross? Do I consistently am I consistently reflecting our Savior's spirit? I guess, is God real to you? Is the resurrection real to you? In other words, am I experiencing the resurrection in my life? That is what I'm concerned about. Because God loved us so much. He went through all this suffering, which is one reason why I didn't go into that. I didn't go into that because I think that might be a good message for Communion Sunday. But Christ went through all that grief, all that sorrow, all that rebuke, and he did it for us so that he could satisfy the Father, be the perfect sacrifice, and then by dying and by being risen again is confirmation that he is the Son of God. And it is our answer. It's our life. And the question is, are you died to self? Are you on the cross? Have you given yourself up? And are you now experiencing this new life, which is only found in Jesus Christ? It's not in you. I came across this interesting thought, and that is, you realize every one of us are going to be living forever. We're going to live forever. We have a never-dying soul. And the question is, where are you going to end up? Are you going to be with Christ in heaven, or are you going to be in torment? You're going to be living forever. It's one or the other. God has told us that. He has shown us that. We've been condemned to die. But it's only as we die to self and give ourselves to Christ that we're going to be able to experience that joy and that bliss and that experience. But you don't have to wait till you die. You can do it now. You can find this joy and happiness now. It's a choice. that you have to make. The there's a poem that I came across that I would like to read. It reads like this. It's called The Resurrection. We hold so close to our hearts the cross where Jesus died, but so much more than the blood-stained cross is that Jesus came back to life. The stone's been rolled away, the tomb lay open and bare. They looked for him, and then the angel said that he's no longer here. Oh, what joy that must have felt to see him just once more, to eat with him, to drink with him, to receive him back as Lord. So much did he accomplish through his death upon the cross, and in his rising from the dead, he reconciled us back to God. Nothing else could bridge that gap that sin hath wretched apart. Now we can freely go to God and receive Christ in our hearts. That's why Christ died. That's why he rose. To help us see and understand there is no greater power. There is no better way than to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and walk in truth and light. So my question is, are you experiencing the restored relationship with God? Are you experiencing the intercession that Jesus is giving to you when you fail? Do you have this security knowing that, you know, God is everything? Are you experiencing victory? Are you having this in your life? And are you walking this narrow way, the way that will lead to life? We are not saved by works. But Jesus said that my sheep know my voice and they do my will. And people can say, I'm not a Calvinist, because I really feel that we can, it's a choice that we have to make every day. And I really would love to know that everyone here is making that choice every day and say, I love you, Lord. I want to live for you, Lord. And ask the prayer that, you know, we will ask him to help us, lead us, and show us. Let's all stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for your word. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the risen Lord in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that if there's someone here who is not experiencing that relationship, that you would speak to them, Father, by your Spirit, and help them to see the most important decision that they could ever make is to choose you. And Father, we thank you for everyone that is here. We pray that you might work in each one's life in a way that would draw us closer to you. We know, Father, that life is not promised to us as far as tomorrow, but we do know that you have promised eternal life to us if we accept Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that everyone here would make that choice and put you first, so that as we reflect your Spirit, Father, the world would see you in a greater way and come to a saving knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, for this freedom that we have. We thank you for this country. And we pray that you might bless the leaders of this country to see you in your sovereignty, and that they would fear you and turn to you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the love you've shown to us in many ways. We pray right now, especially for Weston, and as he is healing with his eye, we pray that you might give it a complete recovery, Father. We would love to know that he would not be blind in one eye. But Father, and we know you can do it. We know that. And we just pray that you might bless Rhonda as she makes choices and decisions, that you would direct her and lead her, and bless the children as well. Help us all, Father, to just completely surrender ourselves to you so that you can have free course in our lives and you can be honored and glorified. We ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen.